This is Ken Paulson from Americana Music News, and today we're standing in the back of the Country Music Hall of Fame, where we just listened to all the new honorees for the nominees, I should say, for the upcoming Americana Music Awards in Nashville, Tennessee in September. Always a great event. And the hosts are a duo called the Milk Carton Kids, and anybody who listens to this knows their work. You may not know that they're really good behind a microphone. They're funny and irreverent and ideal for this event. We actually were blessed with the chance to hear a song from the new album, and it's outstanding. You also had an all-star band with you. Joey, how'd you put that together?
Oh, that was our band was Paul Coert on bass, Brittany Haas on fiddle, Jay Belrose on drums, and Lindsay Liu singing harmony with us. And that was the band from the record that we just made a few months ago that comes out in June. And Brittany was being honored as a nominee for Instrumentalist of the Year. Paul just so happened to be in town. Lindsay just so happened to be in town. All three of them are going to the airport right now to leave town, as am I, because nobody's ever in town for very long. And Jay Belrose happened to be in town rehearsing with Alison Krauss for a tour that he's doing with her that starts like tomorrow. So it was just a perfect storm of everybody from the record being in town at the same time.
Russ Paul played mandolin. I made Russ Paul the greatest pedal steel player sort of active right now, although Lloyd Green recently came off the bench, so he gets his spot back. But Russ Paul's in town, and I probably am not allowed to say what he's doing, which kept him from playing with us, but you have to understand that it's really funny what Russ Paul is doing this very minute instead of playing with us. So it was almost the whole album band.
It's not the whole band, but everybody that played with us was on the album.
So the second voice was Kenneth, which completes the duo. And the zipper opening up and closing your hearing is actually live action packing while we do this. They're heading to the airport in a few minutes.
Well, also Joey's, he's a never nude, and so he constantly has to change clothes, get his jean shorts on underneath the...
What did you say? Never nude? Yeah, is that a thing?
You never watched Arrested Development?
No, but that's so funny.
So this is
it's like a pretty well-known TV joke.
Yeah, no, I never got into Arrested Development.
So brand new album.
Yes.
With an elaborate title.
Yeah, all the things that I did and all the things that I didn't do. Or you can call it All the Things for short.
It was a long title. And this is your fourth studio album and your fifth overall.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, is it just one more record, or like the Beatles and Stones, is there like, okay, this is going to be the psychedelic album?
This one was special for us, for me anyway, in a lot of ways, not least of which is that it's the first time that we've played with a band. You know, with everything we've ever done has been just the two of us, with just our two guitars and our two voices. And it was kind of the concept, you know, of our collaboration from the very beginning. And this is, we always knew that maybe someday down the line we would expand the sonic palette, invite some more people in, and so this, now we finally got to do it, and I think it was one of the most enjoyable musical experiences to do that we've ever had.
Kenneth, do you like every record before you release it?
No, I still don't like our records. This is the first one that I like. Not true. I liked Monterey, but I thought that we didn't write very good songs. But I don't like Prologue or Ashen, because I'd like the opportunity to remake those. But this album I really like. And maybe it's a function of the fact that it's not just Joey and I. Because Joey and I have endless time in life. So, well, not really. Like, we'll be dead soon. But I mean to say that Joey and I could work a lot without the, you know, like the ticker running. Whereas when you make a band with nine of the best musicians on earth and you're paying them with dignity, you sort of have to make some decisions and stick to them. And there's something about that process that actually makes the music more real in the end, or it makes it less, it makes it beyond reproach. Whereas I would happily reproach all of our other records.
You've just killed sales and all the used bins all over America.
That's all right. They were already killed by Spotify.
Yeah. You go stream the old records and see exactly what Ken is talking about right now on Spotify and Apple Music.
For free.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, there's every reference to you by somebody who's not deeply involved in your music. tends to be to Simon and Garfunkel. And I would think that would either be a blessing or a curse. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's a blessing because it's a very quick thing you can tell to the Uber driver when you get in with your guitar and he says, what kind of music do you play? And you say, folk music. And they say, oh, yeah, what? And you say, it sounds like Simon and Garfunkel. And that usually shuts them up. It works well in an elevator, too, or getting on a plane when the flight attendant asks.
Yeah, but also as a musician, you have to not be offended by the way people take your music. At a certain point, it's not yours anymore, which sounds really hippy-dippy, but I mean it in a dark way. At a certain point, it's theirs, and they'll do it with it whatever the hell they please. And I find that over the course of our career, most of the people that sit in the audience, they're not diehard music fans. They're not going to music five nights a week. They're normal people with normal jobs and normal problems and normal families, and they hear some music from time to time that resonates with them. And then they very graciously show up at your show and give you money. And for a lot of those people, we sound like Simon and Garfunkel, and that's a good way to form a relationship with people that think that when we spend time together in a room playing a concert, it's well worth my time spent in life, and I hope that it is theirs. It's like it's a good shortcut to get to know each other. You don't want to look that gift horse in the mouth.
Plus, I think we sound like Simon and Garfunkel. Our voices just sound like their voices. Well, we can't help
it. As long as he remembers, Joey looks in the mirror and thinks, Art Garfunkel.
I had the chance to interview Art on a PBS TV show I had.
Oh, God. And that couldn't have been pleasant.
It actually, I think I had him on Best Behavior. He was utterly charming, but you've already worked out, I see, who's Paul and who's Artie, so that's good.
Well, we're still that was worked out for us, let's be honest.
So we need to wrap this up because you guys are heading to the airport. Does that mean you're starting a new tour?
Yeah, we'll have a tour right when the album comes out in June.
He's having yet another tour of his own bedroom where he sits there and stares at the wall and lets his wife do all the work.
I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, we're going to be on tour in June, right when the album comes out, and then festivals through the summer, and then a big headline tour in the fall through October, November, which we've just announced yesterday, actually. So people should go look at the internet and see if we're coming to their city. Still not Florida. We're still not going to Florida. We've never been to Florida.
Is that a moral position you're taking? Or?
No, it's a geographic position.
Well, congratulations on the new record and your careers, and for finally clarifying the whole Simon and Garfunkel thing for me. Best of luck, Joey, Kenneth. A pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Of all the suffering I saw, the soaking of the pavement, sprawled upon a land without a law. Everything I loved, everything I found or I hoped for. Frightened and surrounded, who else is there to turn to anymore? Oh, I held out my arms. I held out my arms, held out my arms. Oh, 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 oh. There was a time I spoke the truth, but my younger years were wasted on my youth. Somewhere I awakened with a crack to a pounding on the roof. Sure, I heard the sound as evidence, or better yet, as proof. I was naked as the day I was born, neath the fullness of the moon. Oh, I held out my arms. Oh, I held out my arms. Far away, I hear singing. Far away, I flooding through the window like a friend. Like a wild revelation, like a shining invitation to attend. Spoken as prayer, unbroken by despair, I make amends. Love inside our hearts is the only kind of savior we've been sent. Oh, I held out my heart. Oh, I held out my heart.
This is Ken Paulson coming to you with a new edition of First Person from Reagan National Airport, of all places. You're likely to hear the buzz and various noises of the airport here. We're just actually catching up with Seth Timms, who last night had a performance in the District of Columbia and is headed home to Nashville. Let's hear Seth talk about his brand new album, Record and Pause.
Yes, well, thanks, Ken. Boy, what should I say about Record and Pause? It's a bit more autobiographical in nature than the last couple of releases that I put out. Song that I guess I'm sort of plugging, as it were, today is a song called Church Van, which is a song which makes some references to some disappointing or maybe slightly embarrassing things that happened to me in my adolescence, which are the kind of things that sometimes keep you up at night and that you think about with no particular reason, but it's also about how it's better to it's better to have forgotten about all of that stuff. As there's a line in the song that says, there's an art to forgetting certain bits and pieces. So that's, I think that's very true. Anyway, it's kind of indicative of a lot of the stuff on the record, I think. There's a lot of that, for whatever reason. I guess I'm getting to that age where I'm thinking back on such things more often than I used to. I don't know why. That's just the way it is.
That night she made me a man in the back of the church van, under a blanket, driving home in the dark. Everyone asleep, or so we thought. When we pulled back into town, well, I knew she would let me down. She barely looked back at me, just started talking to Katie, and that was all we ever had. Didn't bother me no more.
and I cried right there beside him.
Americana Music News is a podcast produced by Sprinter Media, music by Dave Paulson, and you can reach us at amneditor@gmail.com.